Hey, New Life, we live in interesting days. We live in a world that is predicated upon fear and worry. We encounter it everywhere we go, from our social media to our news media to, frankly, just every part of our lives are infused with fear and worry. I wonder what Jesus would have to say to our culture that is so founded upon concern and worry and fear. That's what we're going to talk about this week. And today we want to dive into understanding Jesus's worldview as it relates to the cares of life and worry. So if you will, open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and following. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to the span of his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, the Gentiles, seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be yours as well. What's Jesus's response to our world predicated upon fear and anxiety and worry? Don't worry. You say, well, that's pretty simple to say, but listen, you don't understand my situation. And notice where Jesus's instructions not to worry come from. They are rooted in the conviction and the reality of God. I studied with a man in Israel who, at the time of his passing, was the world authority on ancient Judaism and the origins of Christianity. And he often said that you can summarize all of Jesus's teachings in one word. Are you ready? Relax. Relax. It's not about the power of positive thinking. It's about the conviction of the God of the universe, who is your Father. It's the realization that the God who created the heavens and the earth and everything in them is concerned about you. And Jesus belongs to a stream of thought that we find in ancient Jewish piety that basically looked at God as the source of provision for the needs of the day. And one of the central stories of the Bible, which became the foundation for this ideology, was the story of the manna in the wilderness. Let me remind you of that story. We find it in the book of Exodus. Children of Israel are wandering in the wilderness. They need to eat and they need to drink water. And every day God provided for them manna. But what was his rule? You could only gather enough for that day. If you tried to gather more because you were concerned about having enough for the coming day, the remainder would rot. You were allowed on the sixth day, Friday, to gather a double portion for the seventh day, the Sabbath. but on no other day could you do that. Why? What lesson was God teaching the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness? To depend upon Him. And in fact, we find this in Deuteronomy chapter 8, when the children of Israel are getting ready to cross the Jordan River into the promised land. And Moses reminds them that all the way of the wilderness that they wandered, their clothes didn't wear out, their sandals didn't wear out, that they were fed by the manna. And he goes on to say the reason God did this was to see if you would obey His word and to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus' Jewish contemporaries looked at this and said that God is the source of our provision for all things that we need in life: food, shelter, clothing. And they said that the person that has enough to eat today and worries about what he will eat tomorrow is a person of little faith. Notice in our passage from Matthew chapter 6, how does Jesus describe those who are anxious about tomorrow? Those of little faith. In fact, when we find that phrasing, "O you of little faith," in the Gospels, it is directly tied in to this ideology that says that God is the source of provision for today, so don't worry about tomorrow. Now you may say, well, that seems really easy. That's very simple. Let me raise one question to you. What if Jesus was actually serious, though? You say, well, Mark, he doesn't understand my life. And I want you to just take a second and look at your life for a second and realize the things that are in our life that oftentimes have the ability to crowd out our faith and trust in God. In fact, in the parable that Jesus tells, we call it the parable of the sower, but really it's about the four soils. He talks about the seed that falls among the weeds, and the weeds grow up and they choke out the seed. And then he explains to his listeners that the weeds are riches and the cares of life that choke out our ability of growth. Are there things in your life? I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying that they're sinful, but are there things in your life that are inhibiting your growth and trust in God? Jesus said that look at the birds of the air, look at the grass of the field, look at the flowers that grow up and then wither in the summer sun. That if God takes such account of those things, how much more valuable are you to God? We live in a day and age where many people are rightly concerned about the environment and our world. But even as important as the world that we live in is to us and should be to us, God values human life even more. So don't worry. In fact, Jesus compared his followers who worried to pagan Gentiles. The pagans worry after these things, but not so with you. Why? Because your God is your Father, and He's going to take care of you. Jesus is going to illustrate this in multiple ways in the Gospels. One of the ways that we find Him doing this is even in the Lord's Prayer, where he teaches his disciples to pray, "Give us today our daily bread." That language draws to their mind the story of the manna, and it is calling upon them to realize that God is the source of their provision. Too often, especially in the world that we live in today, it's easy for us to see ourselves as self-made individuals. Or we look at our success after the fact and say, "Well, God blessed me." But what about when we're walking through the deep waters? Do we see that God is still there and we don't worry? We're not anxious. We relax. God's got you. Do you have the courage to pray today for your daily bread, knowing that the God who provides your bread for the day is going to be there tomorrow to provide for what you need tomorrow? One of the ways that Jesus shows this in the Gospels is a story that is rather famous: the storm on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee actually is not a sea, it's a lake. It's the lowest freshwater lake in the world. It sits at 600 feet below sea level. But the topography around the lake, which is surrounded on its western and eastern and some of its northern side by hills, creates a swirl for winds that will come from the east or even from the west. And you can get serious swells on the Lake of Galilee. I've been out there before, even with modern boats, where you are having 10 to 12 foot swells. That's serious on a lake. And we find this story that Jesus and his disciples are out in a boat, and they're going across the lake. They don't even have modern motors to help them. So you can imagine how terrifying these storms, which blow up quickly. In fact, a few years ago, I experienced this. I was with a group, and we were traveling from Tiberias, which sits on the western shore of the Lake of Galilee, across to the eastern side. And as we got in the boat and started off, all of a sudden the winds came up. There are these winds that blow in the fall and early winter of the year out of the east. And the Arabic term for them is sharkia. And these winds were blowing on the lake. And by the time we got across to the other side, the waves were so high and coming over the boat that we were in, which was powered by a modern diesel engine, that actually the boat captain had to dock the boat there in that port. They could not sail it back across. They had to call for taxis from Tiberias to come pick them up. And then they had to go back the next morning and get their boat, because it was that serious of a storm. And the group that I was with, we were staying on the shoreline of the lake, and they listened all night to these howling sharkia winds and the waves and the tempest that was stirred up on the lake. So when Jesus and his disciples get caught in the lake in this storm, it's serious. The waves were legitimate. The threat was real. Now, often when we read this story in the Gospels, we kind of treat Jesus like a Superman of sorts. And we look at this as him showing his divinity over nature. It's kind of like that he's asleep in the boat, the disciples come terrified, and all of a sudden, Clark Kent removes his glasses and pulls back so we can see the S on his chest. And when we do that, we actually miss the point of Jesus's message. In the Gospels, Jesus performs his miracles for two reasons. number one, is to punctuate a teaching. Okay? To punctuate a teaching. He'll teach something, and then he performs a miracle as the exclamation point, putting it in bold, underlining it, saying, this miracle demonstrates that I'm correct. The second way, and we've already talked a bit about this in our week dealing with the kingdom of heaven, he sees his miracles and his exorcism as evidence that God has anointed him and that God's reign is breaking through into the world. Those are the two ways he uses his miracles in the Gospels. So what is the point that Jesus is getting across here? Remember, he's asleep in the boat. The disciples come to him and wake him up. And what's his response? O you of little faith. Remember what I said earlier? That phrasing puts us into this ideology of don't worry, God's got you. Why does he tell the disciples this? The waves were real. The threat was legitimate. Because they had forgotten that the God of the universe cares about them. Even in the midst of the storm. It's not about Superman showing off his S. It's about Jesus saying, guys, even in a moment where there is a legitimate threat, you can never give way to anxiety and worry because that says you do not trust God enough and his care enough for you. Relax. Never lose sight of the teaching that Jesus is trying to convey. At the conclusion of the passage that he gives us in Matthew chapter 6 that we read a few minutes ago, he says, the pagans seek after these things, but your Father knows that you need them all. But seek first God's reign, and all of these things will be taken care of. What does that mean? Our relationship with God is pretty simple. He bears responsibility for us. What we're going to eat, where we're going to live, the needs of life, God bears responsibility for us. The psalmist says, I have never seen the righteous going hungry or his seed begging bread. And Jesus tells his followers, don't seek after those things. Those things bring anxiety and worry. What our responsibility is to seek God's rule and reign. How do we do that? By passionately pursuing every day obedience to God. Every day seeking to have his reign in our life. In other words, if we take care of those things that matter to God, which is our obedience to him, God's going to take care of us. Can you trust that God's got you? Can you relax? Can you live in that state being relaxed and not worrying and being anxious? Let me be clear. Jesus isn't saying you sit back and God will just take care of everything for you. It's an issue of focus. We have work to do. We have actions and behaviors in obedience to God to live out in our lives. But if we will focus on what matters to God, we can be sure that God will take care of us. Don't worry. Relax. God has got you.